There is no guarantee for success, but there are ways to get closer to it when you do the right things. Who you surround yourself with is just as important as what you do. Finding the right people, the right classes, the right activities, and taking the right tests are all decisions that shape your future. Find out more today on Destination University with Dr. Cynthia Colon. Dr. Colon and her guests will give you the tips you need, whether you're a student, parent, or educator. Now, here is your host, Dr. Cynthia Colon.
Well, hello there, listeners. Dr. C here, and if you are a senior in high school, you are likely in the midst of applying to college. This episode is filled with great tips in using the Common Application, Coalition Application, and the UC Application. That's the University of California. This show originally aired in November of 2018, but here is the update you need for the UC application. Beginning this year, 2019, the Activity and Awards section now gives the applicant an opportunity to share 500 characters worth of information versus what used to be a 160 character limit. The UC application does not allow for letters of recommendation, so the student is the only advocate for themselves. Use this activity and award section wisely. My best tip is don't share the obvious. Use your characters to reveal leadership, what you've learned, what you gained, what you achieved, and how you found an interest. As a reminder, the University of California is by many measures the best public system in the country. Last year, there were over 176,000 freshman applicants system-wide and over 41,000 transfer applicants system-wide. With these kinds of numbers, I don't want you to just roll the dice and hope to get admitted to the UC of your choice. I want you to feel great, feel confident about the essays you turn in and the application you send in. I'm inviting you to call me, email me, or enroll in my virtual essay workshop that you can take anytime. It has all the tools and templates that have helped hundreds of students write thousands of essays. You can go to my website, Dr. Cynthia Colon, to make an appointment with me. That's drcynthiacolon.com. Either way, do me a favor. Do something to get a bit of guidance and support. Do not delay in beginning your application. I promise you, this process takes far longer than you expect it will. So don't ruin your holidays. Go ahead and get it done. Enjoy this episode. I still remember my mother and father inviting people over to watch the slides of the best photos Dad had taken throughout the year, or the top movies he took on our camping trips. It was an event replete with popcorn, snacks, and pop soda. Today, kids and adults alike update their highlight reel, sometimes 2, 3, 4 times a day on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and Snapchat. It becomes harder to discern which photos are the best, the favorites, the most honest, or real. But what if you had to choose? What if you could only post 4 photos of your life? Which would you choose? With whom would you share? This is exactly what it means to apply to college. The secret to getting through the college application process is to remember this is fun. If you can think of the application as a way of making your own short movie or choosing your best photos, this is a celebration. Here's the great news. You get to choose what you say and how you present yourself to the colleges of your choice. You are in the driver's seat, and don't forget it. Today, I have a special treat for you. Vince Garcia and Carol Christensen, founders of Q&A College Admissions, are joining me to offer strategic tips on what to say, how to say it, and where it goes in the application. Together, we have a combined experience of over 50 years in this business. The lesson today, what are the do's and don'ts in the college application process? And my question is, how do you choose which clips of your life to include? I'm Dr. Cynthia Colon, author of the book Tips, Tales, and Truths for Teens. Welcome to Destination University, where we explore extraordinary people who lived ordinary childhoods and found a pathway to college. Well, hello and welcome, Vince and Carol. How are you both doing today?
Good.
Great. Great. Thanks for having us on.
It's great to be here, but I always get a little like, you know, stuck when I say we have an over 50 years experience because I don't like to think of us as being that old.
We're each 20.
But we're each 20. And yeah, so that's the real deal, right? So anyway.
I'll take the hit on the ages. I'll just say right now, they're both younger, lots younger than me.
It's a real treat to be with these two because I had the privilege of working with them over the summer when we did the SA boot camp for the UC system. And we had a real, really great time because I think what we each bring together is really something for each of our students and our listeners to learn from. And I want to point out, we have listeners that are tuning in from across the country in places like Washington, New Jersey, Connecticut, Florida, Virginia, Missouri, and up and down California. So I want you to know, listeners, that you're going to hear us refer to the University of California application, but rest assured we will also be talking about the Common Application, the Coalition application, and these tips and strategies are going to serve you no matter where you're applying to college this fall or coming soon next year. Okay, so grab your beverage of choice and a pen and paper. We're going to get started with Vince and Carol. So I want you guys to just give a little bit about yourself. Tell us, you know, about your background and your own personal journey to college.
Great. This is Vince. Thank you, Cynthia, for having us. And I'm fighting a little bit of a cold, so pardon if I sound a little bit hoarse. My journey to college, it was really interesting. My parents, no one in my family had gone to college. So I'm first generation. Mm-hmm. And my dad in particular was very ambitious. Mm-hmm. And he was the first one in our family. We were all born in New Mexico. And he was the first one to take the family out of the state. And mm-hmm. he did that. You know, there's different ways that families sort of move through the world. And for my parents, their sort of upward track was through the armed forces. My dad was in the Air Force.
Nice.
And when he was abroad, he actually got tuberculosis. And early in my parents' marriage, before they had kids, when he came back, he was in, I think he was in Kansas mm-hmm. for quite a while. Mm-hmm. Getting over tuberculosis of the kidney. And when he came back, because of his tuberculosis, he had to become a civilian, but he stayed within the armed forces. And he basically worked in operations mm-hmm. And became really successful. We traveled a lot. My first memories of growing up were in Panama. Mm. And I remember being across the street from a jungle and growing up seeing, you know, monkeys and sloths and snakes and all these wild beasts.
And right how old were you when this was happening?
I was, we moved there when I was four.
Okay.
Four. Wow. So my first memories were being in Panama. My first big memory was actually listening to the impeachment trials of President Nixon.
Wow.
So I grew up in Panama. And when we moved to the States, we initially moved back to New Mexico. We were there a short time. And then my dad was stationed in Las Vegas, Nevada. Mm-hmm. And when we were in Las Vegas, my older brother was a swimmer. He was really, he was a great swimmer from a young age. And their swim team was at UNLV, which was the only college campus. There was only two colleges in the state at the time,
right.
UNR and University of Nevada, Las Vegas. And I remember walking around the campus with my dad, and I was in third grade, and I looked up at him, and I still don't know why I said this, but I said, "Can I go away for college?"
Oh.
And he looked at me, because nobody had been. He said, "Well, you can go wherever you'd like." And that literally, from that moment going forward, that was the moment where I knew that I was going to go to college. And mm-hmm. he knew that I was going to go.
Pivotal moment.
Yes, yes, yes. And then my older brother paved the path. He was very successful in his application process. He initially was going to go to Duke as a swimmer. He was a recruited swimmer, very strong. He decided to do sort of a gap year and then changed directions and ended up going to school in California.
And so take us to from that moment to now you're a senior in high school. Where did you apply? What at that point now, what were you dreaming of?
Well, you know, it was interesting. For me, I had different group of friends. And because I went to a Catholic school, there were really two. And I was, you know, for the time, I have to say, a big influence besides my dad and my older brother, I had a great college counselor. I think before they even, you know, Eric Seif, he recently retired probably 5 or 6 years ago. He was the college counselor at Bishop Gorman for many years. He was great. He was so helpful. But at our school, because it was Catholic, you applied to Catholic universities. And then I had this group of friends who were very bright. My two closest friends, Chad and Joe, both went to Stanford. So I was around all these students who went to Stanford and Claremont McKenna and the year before Pomona and Carleton. So I also began to learn about smaller arts colleges. And then I had a boy state counselor who redirected my attention back to Occidental, where my brother ended up. And when I went to visit it again, the first time I saw Occidental, I wasn't really excited about it, but I think I saw it for the first time in 1981. Mm-hmm. When I went back, it was 1985. And seeing it through his eyes really turned me on to small liberal arts colleges. So my list was Catholic colleges and small liberal arts colleges. The outlier was Carleton. Mm-hmm. And I was very lucky because I got into all the schools I applied to.
Wow.
I remember, I'll still never forget, the first acceptance I got was from Pitzer College.
Wow.
It was 2 weeks after I submitted the application. And it was so exciting because I just thought, wow, that was so fast. And I almost went there, but in the middle of the summer, I changed my mind and decided to go to Oxy.
Wow. So there's a couple of key points, listeners, I want you to just write down. And the first thing is that pivotal moment. Being on a campus, it's never too early to take your children to a campus. I treat them, I'm such a nerd like that. I treat them like national parks. I like want to check them off my list. I love to just go and see and explore. And so being on that campus, Vince saying to his father, can I go away? And his father basically saying, yes, you can go anywhere. That was the moment he knew there was never a question moving forward that he was going to college. The other piece I love is that he talked about having good friends who are smart. And my mom always says, dime con quien andas y te digo quien eres, meaning tell me who you hang out with and I'll tell you who you are. So he was exposed to other colleges. So really great, really great. And then you had, of course, a really dynamo college counselor, which is sometimes hard to come by. Not necessarily a bad thing. Yeah, that we're saying about that, but it's just that there's so many students and so few counselors. So good for you.
It wasn't the time.
Nobody had a good college counselor in the 80s.
I didn't even have a college counselor.
Wow. So Carol, tell us your story.
Oh my gosh. I'll make mine much quicker than his. I am the ninth of 11 children. I think what the three of us here have in common is we all went to Catholic schools.
Yes.
We're raised in Catholic schools in that system. And both of my parents were college graduates, and the expectation was for all of us is that you will go to college.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we didn't have any money, so it was just assumed that you would go to the local state school.
Well, who has money with 11 kids?
Right. Pretty much. I mean, I barely had underwear with elastic in it, so much less, you know. So I assumed that I was going to go to Cal State Fullerton, where I had grown up, like many of my siblings did. And I ended up actually applying for the Cal Grant. And in those days, it came in very late.
Oh, wow.
And I got the Cal Grant, which was going to pay for tuition at any California college, private or public.
Right.
And at the last minute, I applied to, of course, all Catholic colleges, Santa Clara, USD, and Loyola Marymount. And I went to LMU.
Wow.
And I went there for a year, and it just was not a fit for me because I think I did no research. I literally just went there because my mom told me that's where I should go.
Okay.
And so I went, and it was not a fit for me at all. And I was I needed to be part of a new group of people that were unlike me and had a different path than me. And so by going to a Catholic university, for me, it was more of the same.
Extension.
I just felt like I'm not growing here. This is not. So anyway, I wanted a major in graphic design or film. And I actually went to Chico State because they were one of two schools at the time in California that offered a bachelor's degree in graphic design. It was Cal Poly, which was impacted, mm-hmm. and my scholarship was only good for 4 years, so I went to Chico, and it changed my life. I met and married my resident advisor.
Oh, Lord, so this is a story,
cliche, right? And but if that doesn't tell you how much I loved college.
Yeah.
So I had a great college experience. I became a college junkie. Like you said, it's like a national park to you. Cut to my husband and I got married. We moved to the Bay Area. And in the Bay Area, I met my neighbor, and she thought I was funny, and I thought she was funny. And we put together a stand-up comedy show. And
this is my favorite.
We were called the Mommies.
The Mommies.
We ended up, long story, but had a sitcom on NBC and a talk show on ABC. We were called Carol and Marilyn, Real Friends.
You can Google this and find it on YouTube.
You can Google. But we would travel all over the country doing comedy mm-hmm. in small theaters. And during the day, I would go to colleges. Because I loved college campuses. So you would do radio in the morning to promote your show, and then you had all day, and then you would do your show at night. So during the day, whatever town we were in, I would go to colleges. Then I became a mom. And
I want to travel with Carol.
I met Vince, and he was my youngest son's advisor at the private school that they went to. And I said, "Guy, you know, I've been to St. Olaf. I've been to Carleton, McAllister. I mean, all those places, performed at the University of Minnesota at the Guthrie Theater.
Yes.
All those little tiny schools all through Ohio and all of that, I've been to." Mm-hmm. And so he was the one who suggested to me, "Have you ever thought about being a college counselor?" And I was like, "You do that? People do that for a living?"
So first of all, there are pivotal moments even when you're adults.
Yes.
Exactly. And that was a pivotal moment for you.
Oh, this was my fifth career, but I've now been doing it for almost, you know, I think I'm going on my 16th or 17th year.
Okay.
So that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
So just tell us briefly the story, how the two of you merged together to form this company, and why do you do this?
For the way that we came together was first through her son.
You're right.
As his advisor. And then once Carol actually became an official college counselor through doing the program at UCLA, she ended up working at Kimball and she became a college counselor. Later, during that time, after I had left, Carol, you'll pick up the story here.
I get antsy. And I'm always looking for kind of new things and to stimulate myself in different ways. I love media. I love technology. I started right in film and graphic design. And so I left Campbell Hall, and Vince was on the first founding team with me, with two other men. And we created the first of its kind platform called Life Live, mm-hmm. which was a digital platform that allowed students to post videos as part of their college application. We mm-hmm. were the first of its kind in the country. Now there's several different platforms that allow students to do that. But at the time, we had started it, and we ended up selling the company to ETS, which is the company that creates the SAT for College Board and GRE. And so after that was kind of wrapped up and finished, and Vince was ending a position at a foundation, he got in touch and said, "What are you doing?" And I said, "I think, you know, I want to go back to independent counseling." And he said, "Me too, let's partner." So here we are 3 years later, and we have a slew of students, and we love what we do. I mean, I think, you know, each of us come from a different perspective.
Right.
I went through it as a parent. So I feel deeply for parents, and I understand why they kind of get caught in that vortex of worried about their student. This is their short, they only have a short window, and I don't want them to fall through the cracks. So I understand it from that perspective.
Mm-hmm.
But now from a college counseling perspective, I also understand that it's going to be okay, and you can only control a certain amount of this process.
What I love about these two is that if you, and if you read their bios on the website at the radio show, you see that Vince has a long list of places that he's worked at, and he's had experience with the college admission process from the, what we call the receiving side. And Carol has the shipping side, right? But also the, through the eyes of a parent. And so the two of you, just working with the two of you over the summer was really great because you have those different perspectives. But you're also very calm and just, you have a disposition that's welcoming, warm, but also candid as well. And funny, by the way.
Yeah, Vince is much nicer. I'm like the hard-ass parent because I'm like, they're just trying to pull one over on you, Vince.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Well, that is a great introduction to the two of them. When we come back, we are going to get nitty-gritty and give you some specific tips. We're going to talk about the Common Application, the Coalition Application, the UC Application, and really talk about the do's and don'ts of this college application process. And we'll lead you into figuring out what are the best clips of your movie reel that you should be highlighting. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com.
Are you ready to become the applicant every college wants to admit? Would you like to become the adult that models success? Then join the thousands of students, parents, and educators who have found the perfect solution. Dr. Cynthia Colon, author of Tips, Tales, and Truths for Teens, offers motivational and empowering workshops and keynote addresses for your school or organization. She fuels confidence in students on their road to university life. Cynthia coaches parents, educators, and professionals to model a success mindset for students. Go to drcynthiacolon.com to book her to speak, receive a free consultation, or have her as your personal coach. That's drcynthiacolon. drcynthiacolon.com. Visit the site today.
Are you finding your frequency? It can be described as that space between failure and success. It's the future of digital media. It's finding your voice. It's engaging topics, content, and ideas. Jeff and Ryan discuss the digital media space and all of its aspects. It's about making the mistakes, taking the chances, summoning the intestinal fortitude to step out of your comfort zone, and discovering what you can accomplish when you decide to try, decide to learn, decide that you have something to say, and find your frequency. Live Fridays at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Have you become a member yet? Sign up now to become a member of Voice America. It's always free and easy. Plus, you get to take advantage of some great member benefits. Get unlimited access to millions of hours of on-demand content across all of our channels. Keep track of your favorite episodes, shows, and hosts in your own customizable library. Find out what shows you might be interested in based on your favorites. Plus, you get insider access with our newsletter. Membership gives you more. Sign up at voiceamerica.com and click register at the top right.
Stimulating talk.
It gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time.
The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You are tuned into Destination University. If you have a question about the program for Dr. Cynthia Colon, please send an email to destinationuniversity@gmail.com. That's Destination University with a Y-O-U. @gmail.com. Now, back to this week's program.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm Dr. Cynthia Colon here with Vince Garcia and Carol Christensen, founders of Q&A College Admissions. So we're going to just jump right in, and this section is going to be filled with your tips and information you need to know. Carol, why don't you kick us off and talk about the college application options for our listeners.
So I think today what we're going to go over is, first of all, the Common Application, which is just that. It's common to over 500 colleges and universities. Most of them are private, but there are some public institutions that also use the Common App now. There's exactly what the name infers is there's a common section that all colleges will receive. And then in addition to that, each school will usually have a set of questions that are germane just to their institution, and those would be referred to as the essays of that section would be called the supplements. So
thank you.
Because we don't have a lot of time, I'm really just going to hit on the things that I think are the most important about each application. So we're going to start with the Common App.
Okay.
Then we're going to move to the Coalition App, which is kind of the new application in town that many schools are using. And it's new, like I said. So they're having a few growing pains, but there are some great things about it that we'll talk about. And then Vince is going to talk about the University of California application.
Fantastic.
So the Common application, there are, like I said, there's a common piece to it, and then you add your colleges. And once those colleges are added, then you would look at the supplements. My biggest tip is for students that once they start the process and they know the colleges that they're pretty sure they're going to be applying to, go into the Common App when it launches and look at those schools and look at the questions far in advance. Because once you select a major, you may end up having different questions to answer than what is first seen on the screen, right? You think they only have one supplement and it's just about why do you want to attend this college? But if you select history as your major, there may be an extra question that says, why are you choosing history as your major?
Okay.
The other thing about the supplements that are really important, I have found, is that a lot of times students will get on the Common App and start to look at those supplemental questions and they're rubbed the wrong way by a question, or that it feels very difficult to them to answer. To me, that's a college saying to you, this is who we are.
Mm-hmm.
So the questions really tell you a lot about an institution sometimes.
Yep.
And you can see what's important to them and what they value. And if you go to their website, you'll see that it's directly connected to either their mission statement or their values or things like that. So that's an overall thing to look at, is really start it and read ahead.
That's a really great tip, Carol. I just want to point out, first of all, she said to go into the Common Application and then select the schools you're going to be applying to and look at the questions in advance, meaning the supplemental questions. So that you can see that. And you can't see the supplemental questions until you've selected. The second thing she just said, write this down, listeners, is that what you read as their question, that's telling of the who the institution is, what they value. And if you're not comfortable or you don't like it or you're rubbed the wrong way, maybe that's saying something about maybe it's not a good match for you. So just listen to that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, go ahead.
Absolutely. And then back to the supplements, is almost every college is going to ask, if they have a supplement, is going to ask, why us? Mm-hmm. Why do you want to attend this university?
Yep.
And one of the things I think all of us are going to hammer today is that it's all about the details.
Yep.
Don't tell them what they already know about themselves. You need to connect yourself to that university based on what your past achievements or accomplishments or activities have been, and then put it in context of what that school is going to offer you and how you will keep doing those things or what you will offer the university. But you need to do it with details, because when students make these broad sweeping statements that are very vague, imagine these poor readers who are reading thousands of these, and if they hear one more thing about how great an international New York City is, they just want to crumple up the application and throw it against the wall, because there's nothing new, there's nothing interesting, and even the smallest little nugget can bring an essay to life. Like yesterday, Vince and I were working with one of our clients, and she is from Hong Kong, and we were asking her about her life as an international student growing up in Hong Kong, and I said, where was your favorite place to eat? What's your favorite place? Now I'm thinking, she's going to give me this very culturally Chinese place, right?
Right.
A burger joint.
Oh.
This was her favorite place with her friends. They would run down to the beach and they would go to this burger joint. And I'm like, what's the name of it?
Yeah.
Describe the shape to me. Describe the burger. That experience is uniquely hers. Nobody else could tell that story. And it was so interesting to us. We wanted to ask her more about her experience.
Love
right?
It.
And so she said, I just didn't think that would be important. I said, no, because it tells me so much about who you are.
Right.
Right.
The devil's in the detail. I mean, that's really the secret sauce. I was at USC yesterday and did the info session, and he says that's the same thing. I hear everybody, this is my dream school. This is why I want to come. Yeah, you and thousands of other people.
Right.
Tell us why. Give us an example. Give us some detail.
Right. It's like, you know, I was on the campus and I walked past a bulletin board and there was this great flyer. And the flyer said, you know, meet me at noon at this at Tommy Trojan. It'd be like, what is that? You know, that's the thing that's going to draw me into that essay is because I know it's real for you and it's authentic. You're not just regurgitating something you read on the website. So everything is about the details. And then the two things that I really want to call attention to, two specific sections of the Common App that are really important.
Okay.
And you guys chime in too here. The activity section.
Oh, yeah.
Which is really critical. I think it's valuable to show students a copy of the Common application long before they apply. Mm-hmm. So they can see and understand what the expectation is. They don't know what they're working towards. So show them that activity section. There's
really
10 sections that they're going to have to fill in. Mm-hmm. You can't wait until fall of your senior year to go, oh, what am I going to put in there? Mm-hmm. And you want those things to be substantial.
Great.
So it's not about checking boxes, but there is an expectation that you're going to offer something to that community. So that's one. The other, and then also on the activity section is what we always counsel our clients to do is really think and be thoughtful about the order in which you put them.
Mm-hmm.
Because
yep.
If you're applying as a business major and you've done some internships or you've done things that are, you know, business related, you might not want to lead with cheerleading.
Right.
So it's not that cheerleading isn't important, but you really want those, you know, the person who's reading that application to see the impact that you've made in the area that you want to be moving towards.
What's most important to you should go first is what she's basically saying, right?
Right.
Most important to you, perhaps how it's connected to your major and your future should go first.
Exactly.
And the other part of that is you want to make sure that if cheerleading is first, how is it related to business? You raised $10,000 so you could go to the national championship. Tell me how you did that in 150 characters.
Right, that I organized the whole thing. I cataloged the money. I did all of that. Then it makes sense.
Oh, gosh. This is like a whole nother episode, just the activity sheet.
Right. And then the second most important thing is I think that a lot of students overlook is the additional information section.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of students will leave it blank and they won't take advantage of that. But that's really an awesome place where there's so much that maybe you had to leave out because there was no place to put it, or you were unable to connect the dots on a certain thing. If you had an unusual or unorthodox academic journey, you want to explain that. Could I not take certain classes, certain APs? My schedule didn't allow for it because I chose to be editor of the newspaper, so I couldn't take Spanish. So I took it outside of school. And this is it's a free-for-all space where you can contextualize everything and tell your story, complete the story.
And I think when we get to the UC application, there's a space there as well for that extra information. So this is good to know. This is like a bonus space, mm-hmm. like a bonus room.
Do you have a learning disability? Or were you sick 1 year and that's why your grades fell?
Tell us.
Yeah. Tell us the story.
Give us the context.
Exactly.
So I want to move us on to the Coalition app. And the Common App is... there are over 500 schools, as you mentioned. So, and the Coalition is still a little bit new. So just tell us the highlights, like what's different about it? Why should I think about it?
So the Coalition, was really advertised as equity, access and equity, giving students a chance to really show who they are and kind of round out their application by inputting items into what they call a locker mm-hmm. that they share with the readers. And if you have videos or papers that were published or awards or certain things where like the Common App doesn't have a place to house those things, that the locker was that added that component. Because the Coalition app is new and a lot of schools are just coming on board with it, they don't all have a pathway to view the locker.
Mm, okay.
So you have to really be sure that the school has a way to look at those extra materials if that's the reason you're using the Coalition app.
Great.
Some schools like University of Maryland, University of Washington only use the Coalition app.
Okay.
So
that's good to know.
You really don't have a choice. It's pretty straightforward, like the Common App. It has, you know, the demographic information, your education information. The one downside for us as counselors is that you have to complete that main part of the application before you can add schools and move into the school app so you can see what the supplemental questions are.
So that's the downside, but the upside is you can start the coalition application
as a freshman.
So that's a key point that's different about the coalition application. You can start it early. You could start storing things in your locker
But
earlier.
There's no guarantee at this moment that all schools are going to see what's in the locker.
Right. So there's some downfalls
there.
Okay. Great. And I know that you mentioned earlier on the break, and I wanted to say that for UT Austin, you recommend the coalition app.
I do. I feel like the Apply Texas application is very confusing.
Okay. Sorry, Texas.
Maybe it's because I'm an old person, but we were working with students this year, you know, really looking at it, and I felt like the Coalition app is a better choice.
Okay. Listeners, if you're in Texas, use the Coalition app if you're applying to UT. Fantastic. Okay. So, Vince, you are here to give us offer. And I know you've been a reader for UCLA and for Berkeley.
Mm-hmm.
So you have lots of good experience. But this is such a key thing that you're about to share. So I'm so excited for you to share with our listeners about the UC application. Go ahead.
Now, it's so important as you're looking at the UC application that you have a sense of what's important. And they ask lots of questions. So The thing that's really important to remember is that you sort of align all the things that are important to them. And the best way to do that is, and we'll put this link on our Facebook pages, our Instagram accounts, both Cynthia and Carol, and our website on Q&A, we'll put that information. But the University of California has 14 factors, which we'll talk about in a minute, more specifically what those are, but it helps you align. What's important? What are they looking for? How do they evaluate holistically each applicant who applies to the University of California?
Okay, parents and students, this is like getting the rubric of how you're going to be graded, right? If you are going to write a paper, the teacher gives you a rubric. You're going to be graded this many points for this many points. This is what Vince is about to share with you. These are the 14 points.
So the first one is really about academic GPA. In California, they list courses that students are required to take, A through G courses, and we can talk about that. You'll see information on our websites about how to access that. They also look at scores on testing, ACT with the writing, SAT with the essay, the number and content and performance in academic courses beyond the minimum A through G requirements. Basically, how many courses have you taken above and beyond A through G requirements? The number and performance in UC-approved honors courses, advanced placement, international baccalaureate, or other transferable college courses. They also are looking for eligibility in local context, which applies to the top 9% students. They look at the quality of your senior academic program. They look at your academic performance relative to the educational opportunities available in your high school.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not comparing you with this high school down the road that may have, you know, 42 APs. They're looking at your high school, what were the opportunities and how did you take advantage of them? Outstanding performance in one or more academic areas. Outstanding work in one or more special projects in any academic field. So research,
mm-hmm.
You did research over the summer. A marked improvement in performance. They're really looking at your performance and they're looking at your grades to come up with your UC GPA from 10th and 11th grade. Special talents, achievements, awards in lots of different areas. They also look at completion of special projects undertaken in the context of your high school curriculum or in conjunction with special school events, projects, or programs. Academic accomplishments in light of your experiences and special circumstances. Did you have disadvantage? Is there a lot of need represented in the family? Do you explain why you don't have a lot of activities? Because when you go home from school, you're taking care of your siblings. They need to see that. And then finally, the location of your secondary school and your residence.
Interesting. So I want to point out a couple of key things here. You guys chime in too. Vince gave you a real nugget that I think I'm almost surprised that people are surprised about this. Students are being compared to their school group. Let me repeat that. Students are being compared to their school group. So whatever high school your child attends is what they're going to be looking at, right? So how many honors and APs are offered there? So if there are three APs offered and a student takes all three of them, that's much different than a student who goes to a school that offers 22 APs and they took one, okay? So I need you to understand that what we're just talking about here is, given your resources, what did you do with those resources in the last 4 years? That's really ultimately the question that they're asking at the end of the day.
I think it's also important that as you look at what you're doing and how you approach the rest of the application, that you're aware of how they look at activities. The University of California, there are 5 sections and 30 spaces to put your activities. Mm-hmm. And they've divided them up. Coursework in A through G, educational prep programs, Upward Bound, QuestBridge. There's lots of different educational prep programs. You did research down the road from the high school that you go to. Volunteer and community service is another area. Work experience, paid experience, they're looking at that. Awards and honors, they're looking at, are the awards and honors local, national, international for some of you? And then extracurricular activities. There are 30 slots. Now, there is not an expectation that you fill out all 30, but they're looking for impact and what you learned.
Oh, gosh, the activities section, we can talk forever. So a couple of little nuggets again, and then we're going to go to break. If you can, if you are sitting listening to this episode and you're thinking, I'm a freshman, oh my goodness, see if your counselor will give you a printout of the UC application or the Common Application or any application so you can take a look and have have an extra look and an advantage as you think through what you're going to be accomplishing.
You're welcome to create accounts now on both of those websites. Anybody can do that.
Well, right, but I'm not sure that we can do that on the UC application.
No, won't last. Exactly. But Common App and Coalition, you can.
Right. Okay, we are sharing some secrets today. I invite you, really, you should be sharing this episode with people that you know are in this process right now. Stay tuned. We will be right back.
Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio, voiceamerica.com.
Are you ready to become the applicant every college wants to admit? Would you like to become the adult that models success? Then join the thousands of students, parents, and educators who have found the perfect solution. Dr. Cynthia Colon, author of Tips, Tales, and Truths for Teens, offers motivational and empowering workshops and keynote addresses for your school or organization. She fuels confidence in students on their road to university life. Cynthia coaches parents, educators, and professionals to model a success mindset for students. Go to drcynthiacolon.com to book her to speak, receive a free consultation, or have her as your personal coach. That's drcynthiacolon. drcynthiacolon.com. Visit the site today.
Are you ready for a disaster? If you are like many people in the world, that answer may sadly be no. Disasters happen unexpectedly to people just like you every day. Tune into Preparing for the Unexpected with business continuity and disaster planning expert Alex Bullock. The show will not only help you better prepare for a disaster itself, but also to prepare you, your place of employment, and community for the aftermath, emotionally, financially, and with a better level of awareness and a stronger feeling of resiliency. Tune in Thursdays at 9 a.m. Eastern Time, 6 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Now you don't have to stay linked to your desktop or laptop. Take Voice America on the go and listen anywhere. Get our mobile app for iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android at the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com.
You are tuned into Destination University. If you have a question about the program for Dr. Cynthia Colon, please send an email to destinationuniversity@gmail.com. That's destinationuniversity with a Y-O-U at gmail.com. Now, back to this week's program.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Destination University. I'm your host, Dr. Cynthia Colon. I'm here with Vince Garcia and Carol Christensen of Q&A College Admissions. But before I forget, listeners, be sure to mark your calendars for next week's episode, Wednesday the 14th at noon. I have the honor of interviewing the interim president of the University of Southern California. Dr. Wanda Austin is a leader, a trailblazer, and a strong role model for girls in STEM and women of color everywhere. Be sure to tune in next week. Okay, this is great that you get to have all three of us, and we're going to close with how to choose those clips of your movie. What's the right thing to do? So I'm going to walk you through very quickly the exercise I do with anyone and everyone who will listen and get started on brainstorming about their college essays. So you've got pen and paper. I need you to write two things down. And if you can answer these questions, you can answer any question. The first question is, who am I? And the second question is, what's important to me and why? Who am I? What's important to me and why? Those two questions. The next thing I need you to write down are seven categories that every student is going to choose from in terms of how they choose their topic. So these are those seven topics. And again, you can replay this. So I'm going to say them quickly. They are people, places, experiences, leadership, hobbies, objects, and work experience. Okay, so I'm going to give you just a couple of quick examples. For example, hobbies, I do include athletics in the hobby section. Places can be literally cities and places that you've been, but they can also be your bedroom, your desk, the pitching mound if you're a pitcher, the basketball court, the beanbag you sit in to do your homework. So think about places that are important to you. And then another thing, work experience is not for everyone. You don't all have it. But if you do have work experience, whether it's paid, unpaid, the family business, that is work experience. And there are rich lessons with work experience. So don't discount the work experience. Okay. So when I was your age, I would say to you, you've got to choose about 8 topics to start brainstorming, 8 to 12. So here would be my a little glimpse into what I would have write down. So what I want you to do right now, I'm going to share my example, but while I'm doing that, I want you to have a piece of paper and fold it into 3. And at the top, I want you to write the word what. In the middle column, I want you to write the word why. And the last column, I want you to write the word memory. So go ahead and do that while I'm talking. In the first column, you're going to write what. So like I said, come up with 8 to 12 what's. What do you value? That come from those 7 categories I gave you. So for me, they would have been, I'm the oldest of 3 girls. I'm Catholic. Student body president. I had a part-time job at Henry Moffitt's Chicken Pies. I went camping for vacation. I was a cheerleader. I loved college football. My favorite place in the world at that time was my swimming pool in the backyard. And I think that's probably about 8, but I could go on. I probably could also say, you know, the rosary that was given to me, you know, by someone important. My father was important. My father and mother were important to me. Okay, so those are my what's. So that would go in your what category. My why. Here's the biggest piece. If you leave with nothing else today, the why is most important. So what you value, what you do, becomes your resume. Why you value it becomes your essay. So if you can wrap your brain around that, all the things that you do or that are important to you go somewhere on your activity sheet. But why you invest your time in it, why it's important to you, is what comes out in the essay. So here's an example. 3 students all have the category leadership. In their what category, they all have the topic student council or ASB. Why they value it, student A is a student body president. He values it because he gets to spend time with the principal every 2 weeks for 20 minutes. So he values the mentorship he gets. Student B has been in ASB Student Council for 4 years. She loves her friends and the camaraderie that comes with being on Student Council. Student C discovered that she loves public speaking when she was giving speeches for running and then being in charge of the pep rallies and assemblies. So her why is public speaking. Okay? So do you follow? One is mentorship, one is friendship, one is public speaking. In the final category, memory, the memory comes from your why, not from your what. And that's what makes the difference in the essay, those rich details. Okay? Again, same category, same topic, different why leads to a different memory. So in that memory category, you're going to write a specific memory with rich detail. So for example, student A, his memory would be one time that he met with Principal Ashton for those 20 minutes and one lesson he gained from that meeting. Okay. Student B would write about the friendship. So her memory might be making posters and getting ready for a big football game or for the opening of school with the friends in student council. That's her memory. Student C's memory would be when she first ran for office and took that microphone out of the podium and gave her first speech to the school of 2,000 students. Different memory is going to lead to a different essay. Okay? And so that's where students get caught up. They know what topic they want to write about, student council, and then they just charge in and start writing about student council, which leads to a very vague essay. Okay? So that's my activity. It's very brief, but that's how I lead. That's how we all lead in terms of our essay boot camps. So, Carol Vence, what tips can you give about how students go about finding interesting, engaging, and compelling essays?
Absolutely. And I think one of the things that I wanted to go back to for a minute is that when the last part of the UC application is you want to address the personal insight question. And Cynthia did a great lead in. It's about activities. Was it personal, team, school, local, community, national, global activity that brings out a particular memory that's really important for you to share? So when you come up with your four personal insight questions, remember, I'm emphasizing personal insight. Mm-hmm. They should learn from you. These are little mini interviews. They want to know, what is your essence? What are you trying to communicate? So it's so important that you take, when you find your four activities, that they're covering different parts of your strengths. You want to match those then, your activities. Once you figure out which activities you want to talk about, you're the drum major, you love engineering, you did 500 hours of community service, and you love to create floral arrangements for weddings. All super interesting. Bring those back to those 14 points and see where they fit into one of those categories, the 14 points yes. where they're trying to evaluate you. Really important that as you take each activity, that you think about, what did I do? What problems did you solve in talking about that? What lessons or values did you learn? I learned to be communicate with others in planning their weddings. I set up a business. What impact did it have? And how did you apply what you learned? I learned that I can set up a business anywhere, anytime.
Right.
And if you do those five things, you really addressed and created a personal insight question for the University of California. That's amazing.
Carol? I think connecting yourself is the biggest piece to all of this, is that don't reiterate what they already know about themselves. Mm-hmm. You've got to connect what you've done, what you've learned to the application. They're looking for students who are going to contribute to their campus and their community. Mm-hmm. So in the end, it's not only about what you've accomplished. It's like, okay, great. So now what are you going to do for us?
Yes.
Right? And how are you going to share that with your peers? And how are you going to include others in what you are doing? How are you going to bring different cultures into that? How do you relate to other people? Will you be a collaborator, or are you going to be somebody who sits in your dorm room and is just smart by yourself?
Right. As we're talking about, this is, again, these are the four, whether you're using the Common App and then supplements for those essays, each student is writing about four essays, if not more, depending on where they're applying. And those are those four photos, those four movie clips of your life that you're choosing and expanding on with some rich, rich detail, which is very important. The rich detail is very, very important.
And students think it's not interesting. Trust us, you being you is far more interesting than you being somebody you think they want to see. Yes.
This is true.
Yes.
This is so true. So a quick little tip before I go to my close is this. I had someone say, you know, what do I want to write? And they were writing about their what was soccer, right? But she tore her ACL and she wanted to talk about that. And I said, okay, you know, so the essay is not about soccer. It's about perseverance and how you got through that difficult time. Mm-hmm. So the setting is maybe takes place on a soccer field, the version of getting hurt, playing at a game, but on the sidelines, and then soccer field playing again, right? So again, what you do becomes your resume. Why you do it becomes your essay. So really think about through that as you're going through. Okay.
You should say that again.
Say that again?
Yes, because it simplifies it.
What you do becomes your resume. Why you do it becomes your essay. So really peel back those layers. Okay. So here is the final truth. While this process should ultimately be fun, this should be a celebration for sure. But I would be remiss if I did not say this out loud. You only get this one chance. Choose your highlight reel wisely. Write in your authentic voice and go to bed knowing that you gave this your all. Whether you are first to attend college, you have siblings in college, or your parents went to Ivy League, this process is new to you, and there is no harm or shame in asking for help. All three of us take great pride in our work with students. We do not write the essay for you, but we will push you to find your voice. Tell us the website to find you.
Q&A College Admissions.
.com. Just QA.
QA College Admissions. Okay. I'm excited to announce my new website is live, Dr. Cynthia Colon. You can find me there. You can see all of the things that I offer. And of course, this is a great time to sign up for any of those essay boot camps. But if you are a freshman or a sophomore, this is certainly a time to start your initial family consultation and make a plan for your future. No time is too early. Okay. This is all today, my friends. I'm Dr. Cynthia Colon. Remember, if we fueled confidence and build dreams for you, please share this episode with three people in the next 30 minutes. I'll see you next week at noon Pacific for another episode of Destination University. Until then, wherever you are, may you have a happy and sunny day.
Thank you so much for listening this week to Destination University. Be sure to join Dr. Cynthia Colon again next Wednesday at 12 noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time, on the Voice America Variety Channel, and get one step closer to your success. Are you ready to become the applicant every college wants to admit? Would you like to become the adult that models success? Then join the thousands of students, parents, and educators who have found the perfect solution. Dr. Cynthia Colon, author of Tips, Tales, and Truths for Teens, offers motivational and empowering workshops and keynote addresses for your school or organization. She fuels confidence in students on their road to university life. Cynthia coaches parents, educators, and professionals to model a success mindset for students. Go to drcynthiacolon.com to book her to speak, receive a free consultation, or have her as your personal coach. That's drcynthiacolon.com. Visit the site today.